Protesters showed up en masse across the state of Missouri last week in an effort to pressure the governor to halt the execution of Marcellus Williams, a black man on death row. Prosecutors in St. Louis, where Williams was convicted, had asked courts to overturn his conviction, but the state's attorney general, Andrew Bailey, opposed those efforts. Governor Mike Parson turned down requests to stop the execution. And the Supreme Court refused to intervene on the day of the execution, with the three liberal judges wanting to grant Williams a stay. Well, Mike, let's talk about this tragic case of the killing of Marcellus Williams and how this could be carried out when even the prosecution in the case came to believe that he was innocent. You're an appellate lawyer, your work is death penalty appeals. What happened here?
Well, you should add the fact that the victim's family also opposed it, as did the jurors. The reason it happened is because of the fetish of finality. People who believe in the death penalty and who address the issue, who supported the execution, talked about the fact that this had already been resolved. They believe that continuing to poke around and re-examine cases is an unending process, that we need to put it all to a halt. It's a way of protecting bad government decisions, the principle of finality. It's the only thing that the governor talked about in denying clemency. It's the only thing that the attorney general talked about, is the fact that this case has already been considered by such a number of people. And the burden becomes really enormous. Like what happened in this case was that Williams' supporters, and there were many because there was reams of physical evidence at the crime scene. A young female reporter was stabbed 40 times or so. There were bloody shoe prints. There was the murder weapon actually left there. None of the physical evidence was ever linked to Marcellus Williams. He was convicted on the basis of what might have been some of the victim's possessions in his car. And the statements made by an ex-girlfriend and by a jailhouse snitch. That was the evidence against him. He had long hoped that a DNA testing of the murder weapon would exonerate him. And he finally achieved a DNA test. What the DNA test found were fingerprints of prosecutors and their investigators. They had handled the knife extensively, claiming decades later not to know that this would have any effect on anything that counted. So it was not as clean and clear as the Central Park Five, where you had not only evidence of coerced confessions, but you had DNA pointing to a specific person who that specific person confessing to having committed the crime. But this was murkier. But with the death penalty, of course, there is no taking it back. Once you execute people, it's not going to matter now. What emerges in the future, Marcellus Williams is dead. He was an impressive people. What happens with people on death row is when they spend decades there, they change. Some of them continue to get more bitter and angry and weak, and others actually are steeled by that fire and they become exceptional people. And Williams had become an exceptional person. He was a Muslim. He had become a Muslim leader. He wrote poems. He talked to people and carried himself in such a way that he recognized that he had led an unlawful life in the past, but he had changed. He really had. And so he impressed a
And
lot
he
of people.
also stayed with his innocence in this case.
Absolutely. And there was nothing that you would regard or I would regard as solid evidence pointing to him as the perpetrator.
How much of an outlier was this case? Can you put it in some
Unfortunately,
broader context?
even people like me, who is a professional skeptic, I'm supposed to doubt everything about any case that I take on, have been shocked by how often they get it wrong according to DNA tests. It's probably fair to say that 1 out of 10 cases is bad, that they got the wrong person. That seems like that's pretty good certainly for government work, 9 out of 10. But in the capital,
But how many people are on death row in this country now?
there's about 2,200 people on death row. So looking at that 1 out of 10, that means there are 200 innocent people sentenced to death in this country. And that's probably a good guess. The politics is remarkable here in that it's one of the very clearest distinctions, along with abortion, between the political parties. We know that the Republicans and the Democrats are like one unified blob of power that vote together on many critical issues like size of the defense budget, Israel. There's a host of issues where they're not different at all, but they're sharply different on the death penalty. A vivid example of that is that Pamela Harris's one exhibition of spine as a politician in California was when she was a newly elected district attorney in San Francisco, and there is the cop killing happened, and she refused to ask for the death penalty for the perpetrator of that crime.
And those are particularly charged cases.
Yeah, exactly. Cop killing cases are, it's just unheard of not to seek capital punishment in such a case. She didn't. And she took a lot of heat, but she weathered that and then it passed. And the Republicans are notorious for having executed something like 13 people in a matter of months during the last few months of the Trump administration, when William Barr asked for and got permission to execute all these people whose cases had been pending, who were on federal death row. Many of them had solid claims of either being having IQs of under 70 or either substantial claims of errors in jury selection. And one or two of them had good innocent claims that had not been really verified. They were all executed. The Supreme Court now.
That's more just to follow up a bit on that point. The federal executions are more unusual, is that correct, than in states that do quite a number of executions, like Texas?
Well, yeah, there is a separate federal death penalty, and federal death penalty is reserved for people who've been tried and convicted in federal court. And there's a not a one-to-one relationship between whether or not you have a death penalty in your state and whether or not the federal courts can try and convict somebody and sentence them to death. But there's roughly federal courts tend to do whatever state courts do. But there are many courts who, federal courts, who will allow a trial to proceed and have and go to a death penalty in a state where the death penalty is not a state option. And there are now remaining still a couple of dozen people on federal death row that have not had their cases finally resolved. But what we know for sure is that the US Supreme Court, as a Trump creation, never will get in the way. They have not even commented. They simply step right off to the side every single time a case comes up before them that has a penalty of death. That's been their policy for the last few years. There's no sign whatsoever that it will stop. It's exactly what they did in the Marcellus Williams case. They just stepped aside.
Is this another example of how the right wing, including those in power in the Republican Party, depart quite a bit from popular views or the views of everyday citizens, where support for the death penalty has dropped substantially, as I understand it, in recent decades?
Well, it varies. It's evolving more and more into a blue state, red state split. In Oregon now, we have a death penalty, but it's reserved for people who deliberately kill cops or a child under the age of 13 or a person who is a terrorist and kills two or more people. And there have not been any capital trials since the 2019 when the law changed. In California, California is a mini US where there have been decreasing use of the death penalty. And recently, in two big counties on the coast, Santa Clara County and Alameda County, they've essentially gotten rid of everybody who was convicted and sentenced to death there. 18 people in Santa Clara County or having their sentences dropped to a perpetual life in prison. And in Alameda County, some 30 people are going to be have their sentence reduced because of a scandal about jury selection, where it became clear that the prosecutors had a systematic plan of eliminating Black people, particularly Black women and Jews, for being purportedly soft on death. And it was very rational to be a racist because polls consistently show that Black people are significantly less likely to vote to impose death, and women are less likely than men to impose death. So if you're a prosecutor bent solely on winning, then it becomes a very rational thing to be a racist, even though there are laws that give everybody the right to a representative jury. That means you've got to have hard-ass white guys, and you have to have Black women, and you have to have Jews, and these are people who make up our country, and you are entitled to a jury picked from all these sets of our population.
But getting back to public opinions or attitudes toward the death penalty, there have been times where the death penalty has been very central to political discourse in this country. It's one of the first arguments I had with my raging evangelical fundamentalist older brother was around the death penalty when I was in high school. And it was right up there with abortion, pro-life, except an eye for an eye, and all of that.
Well, it was a ticket to power in the 80s. The rhetoric in California was death, 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 all day and all night long, the death penalty. It's soft on crimes. The money was coming from insurance companies and agribusiness for Governor D George Duke Magen's campaign, but the rhetoric was all death all the time. And now it's not an, it's really receded as a political issue.
Why do you think that is?
It's a cyclical thing. This country has been through ups and downs and goes back and forth on the issue. It peaked out with the baby boomers being young and crime increasing, and then crime started dropping in the late 90s and been consistently dropping ever since. And I think the DNA has been important. I mean, people, as I said, it's my job to be dubious, but I've been amazed at how many cases are questionable. And when you review jurors being interviewed in voir dire by lawyers, many, many people think, well, I used to be pro-death, automatically, but now I wonder, there's so many people, so many instances of the wrong person being grabbed. And closure is critical for cops and community pressure on the police for a notorious crime in particular. Like, say, the murder of a 14-year-old girl. The police have relentless, constant pressure on them to solve the case. So, and they're pretty good at, they live with crime and punishment, and so they can spot somebody. But what they do typically is they'll get somebody, they'll get a hunch, they'll go for it, and then confirmatory hypotheses take over. Everything they see either supports or is forgotten their initial person that they picked. So they'll drive on and with this one particular person, and they get it wrong sometimes. And
There are, just in closing, Mike, and talking about this sad case of the killing of Williams last week in Missouri, there are some excellent organizations that follow developments around the death penalty. The Innocence Project, which has a chapter here in Oregon, has been really important in advancing this issue of doubt that you're saying has been suppressed. Conservatives, what would you suggest beyond following the Innocence Project?
Well, there is a great organization, the Death Penalty Information Project, DPIC.org, will give you all the info you want about the racial breakdown, numbers, changes. But I want to bring everyone's attention to the upcoming scheduled execution of Robbie Robertson in Texas on October 17th. It's the first capital case I know of a shaken baby syndrome. It's a crime that never even happened. And yet he's going to not only have lost his daughter, but he's going to be killed because she died, this young infant died. So there are massive numbers of experts, of popular organizations. appealing for him, but it's Texas. So the principle of finality is, I think, going to prevail there. And this U.S. Supreme Court will do nothing to get in the way.
Yeah. Well, on that really sad note, that is also enraging and hopefully will involve mobilizing in Texas in protest. Thanks, Mike, for joining me today on The Left and the Law to talk about capital punishment and the killing of Marcellus Williams last week.